In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today in the church's Gaudete Sunday, which as you know means rejoice. Now Advent is about waiting, and so what does rejoicing have to do with waiting? And I think the crossroads of rejoicing and waiting is longing. So what still is so joyful, though, about longing or waiting? I think it's the realization that we're on pilgrimage, that we're not in our true home on earth. And we all kind of say that, but we're going to see that as Americans, it's very hard for us to believe that because we have everything that we want. And Advent is this time to detach so we sense this reality that we are in this wayward state. When I think of pilgrimage, I first think of the trips I've taken college kids on in the Camino. But I also think of what it means in Colorado to go up a 14er. We have a term in Colorado which is 14er. And that means any mountain that's over 14,000 feet high. So a lot of young people like to, I think there's about 54 different 14ers. So you'll see a lot of t-shirts in Colorado, and people will take a Sharpie and mark off which ones they've actually climbed. Well, it's not always like mountain climbing. A lot of times we have what's called switchbacks, and they're just zigzags up the mountain. But there's so many zigzags to get up a 14er that it can take you upwards of 8 hours. And halfway up, you're already like gasping for air because there's not a lot of oxygen. Well, if you're stuck at the bottom of a 14er, you usually can't see the top. Now, if you're in Denver, you can often see the top of these 14ers. But if you're at the bottom of it, you actually can't see it. You can see all these surrounding peaks. And as you do these switchbacks, you often come around this mountain and you see this glorious mountain there. And you think you've made it, and it's not. It's just one of those surrounding peaks that just kind of is one of the smaller sister peaks to the big one. We call that a false peak in Colorado, that when you come around and you're gasping for air and you think you've finally made it and you see this glorious peak, it's really still the highest thing you can see. It's not that you can see the main peak behind it. It's still the biggest thing you can see, but you're not there. It's called a false peak. And I think Gaudete Sunday is a little bit like a false peak because on this pilgrimage, we do get a break. Now, here's the good news about a false peak is a lot of times you can sit down and have a snack and just enjoy your friends. And that's kind of what Gaudete Sunday is about, is we have a real pilgrimage here to get to heaven. It's not just a fake one. We have to realize we're on this frightful journey, and on this false peak we get a little bit of a break. But we won't be able to rejoice in any progress if we make this our true home. A parishioner gave me a sheet by St. Leonard of Port Maurice on how few adult Catholics will be saved. And this is actually pretty unanimous between the Latin and the Greek fathers. And the most striking line I found in that whole thing came from St. Jerome. St. Jerome says, out of 100,000 people whose lives have always been bad, you will find barely one who is worthy of indulgence. In other words, we have this idea that as soon as you kind of like, you know, we hear of bad people dying all the time and we immediately say, well, maybe there was a last-minute grace. Yeah, there is a possibility of that. But St. Jerome, he's my middle name, maybe not for unjust reasons, he says that of all those people who die in a bad way, probably 1 out of 100,000 of them actually receives that special last-minute grace. Or maybe has the grace to receive the grace. Why? Because we normally live as we die. If we die in grace, it's because we tried to live in grace. If we die in sin, it's because most of our lives were in sin, you know? So we have to realize that the saints all say that the majority of Catholic adults go to hell. And Jesus did say the way is narrow. But listen to that line from St. Jerome again. Out of 100,000 people whose lives have always been bad, you will find barely one who is worthy of indulgence. Again, that means that people who died without sanctifying grace usually don't make it to heaven. So why doesn't God just let all of us die from some bacterial disease right after baptism? Wouldn't that secure our salvation? Don't you ever think about that? To say, why wouldn't God just... I mean, I actually did. I almost died of a bacterial disease when I was just a few months old. Why didn't God just have that happen? That would secure my salvation, right? Well, the answer is this. God wants something more than our salvation. Yes, he wants our salvation. That's number one. But there's something he wants on top of that. Maybe I shouldn't say more. There's something he wants on top of that. He wants us to have merit as we enter heaven. And this only happens with a longing for the kingdom. It's longing for the kingdom. It's like what I talked about in Colorado. We have this desire. When you sit down on Gaudete False Peak, so to speak, and you're looking and you want to make it to the top, it actually increases your desire. Once you sit down and you have a little snack and you realize you can do it again, you long to make it to the top of that peak. It's something not attained, but it does grow your desire. And again, I think this is very hard for us in the United States for two reasons. One is we live lives of immediate gratification. And two, because we live in a Protestant land of once saved, always saved, we think that as long as I've given my life to Jesus, the battle's over. I'm saved. And now I can just go my way. Or maybe we Catholics can say, I go to Mass every Sunday, so I'm saved. That's it. I'm on my way. I'm good. But we have to realize that if we're in this wayward state, it really is a perilous journey in this pilgrimage. We've mistaken the false peak for the summit, and our snack has turned into a feast that has made us very fat. We see the difference, perhaps, with Syrian Christians nowadays. I was watching two different parties on YouTube. Syrian Christians who were kidnapped by ISIS and reunited with their family. The parties that I got to see with this, I've never seen any Americans party like this. And it wasn't a nasty, grinding bash. It was such joy and rejoicing. People who had been separated, children separated from their families for a year or two, ransomed by their bishop. Their bishop raised $2 million, brings them back. And they're partying. They're having such a feast of joy to be back with their families after all this. Imagine their longing for heaven when they were kidnapped by ISIS, as they see so many of their friends and family perish. Do you think it's hard for them to realize this is not their true home? Do you think it's hard for them to just want to finally go home after that much torture and sadness? But we in the West, it's very hard for us to long for heaven because we have what we need. And this is where Advent is, this time of penance, to detach, like I preached last week, to go into the silence, to turn things off, to eat less, play less music, try to feel unfulfilled. Why? Because we are unfulfilled. And we have to stop acting like it's going to happen on this side of the veil. Advent is a time for penance, where we can feel the longing of not being at the peak of the mountain. And let me tell you, as a Coloradan, it is painful as you go up that mountain. People cry as they go up. The people who think they can make it, who are in good shape, will often break down crying at one of these snacks that they get on a false peak because it's so hard. But they get back up and they keep going. This is what Gaudete Sunday is about. Realization that we're on the way and we get a break of joy. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. I tell friends in other parts of the country that I don't know the mean number of children in the parish, because some of the newer families throw it off, but the median number of children in the families of this parish, I think, is about 10. And I have friends just absolutely shocked that the median number of kids in this parish is 10. So many of you understand that longing midway through pregnancy for this baby to be born isn't a looking forward to the labor pains, right? I mean, the women who've given birth in this room, when you're looking forward to that baby, it's not like you have some, you know, desire to experience the pain of labor. No, we Catholics feel suffering like anybody else. But when she has delivered the baby, Jesus says, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. You see how Jesus links joy to longing? This is where we're at in Gaudete Sunday. Joy is linked to longing. If it were not for those 9 months of growing in silence, the baby would not have the strength to be born. The baby does not want to leave. He does not want to leave that warm environment of the uterus. But it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. When so many of you mothers were pregnant and just ready to give birth, there were probably a dozen things you longed for, not least of which was to see the face of your child. So also our Father longs to see us, to see our face, when we come before Him reflecting His image. It's not just about being a decent person. Roysbrook, who is a medieval mystic, said, unless God sees His image, eternal condemnation awaits us. God has to be ready to see His image when we go before Him, and this is what He longs to see. Even though birth is traumatic, and even though death is traumatic, the heart has to be stretched for such a great gift. One last mountain story. I got to go to the Holy Land, and I went with a big tour group, and I will never go with another big tour group, because we had to go everywhere in this big Mercedes bus with about 50 people, twice my age. And when we went up to where Mary visited Elizabeth, this Mercedes was in first gear going up this hill to get, you know, the hill that Mary took the donkey up to go visit Elizabeth. And we got out, and I mean, Americans were getting out of this air-conditioned Mercedes bus waddling and sweating. And I thought, Mary made it up this whole mountain pregnant on a horse, and we can barely get off this air-conditioned Mercedes to get to visit the place where, you know, Mary visited Elizabeth. And Mary is this great example of longing. You know, the mystics say that nobody in Israel at that time was longing for the coming of the Messiah more than Mary. It was her prayers, in some sense, that God had placed her there in the fullness of time to be begging for the arrival of the Messiah. 1 Corinthians 13 has all the list of the things that is a part of love or charity, and the first one is patience. Love is patient, and I know that's overused in every wedding, but this is still the word of God. Love is patient. Gaudete Sunday meets Advent waiting at patience, the dilation of the heart. Because if we got everything that we wanted right when we wanted it, God couldn't stretch our hearts for the full gift that He wants to get in there. And that's why we don't all die of bacterial diseases right before or right after baptism. Because God wants us to respond in love. God wants us to respond by actually bringing our merits, our longing, that we can love Him back. We're not in heaven yet. And now is our chance for our hearts to grow. So to finish up with, Gaudete Sunday is an already but not yet. It's a little bit of Christmas rejoicing already. It's a rejoicing that we've been called to such a perilous journey. And I think a little bit of The Hobbit, you know, when they're going up Mount Mordor. They realize they may not make it. They realize it's a task greater than they can actually do. But they do have a break for some lembas bread. They have a break and they stop. And they enjoy each other's friendship. This is our break in Gaudete Sunday as we climb up this perilous journey to Mordor. But perilous doesn't mean gloomy. In fact, the joy of the Shire comes with the hobbits almost as a childlike affront to evil. Today is this rest. The Shire comes with us as we bring it. The Shire of beer, of singing, of friends. This is this day of some rejoicing that we're called to such a perilous but exciting adventure of getting our loved ones to heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.